Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon newspaper joins me. Good morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. I think the Beacon is a wonderful publication for those who are over 50 to get information on money, health, so whatever it might be. You can pick it up at 1,500 locations around the D.C. Metroplex. And for those who don't even want to leave their homes, they can read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com.
Right, or order a subscription, which makes a nice little gift.
Oh, very good. And how could they do that?
Well, there's a form in the paper, or you could get the information online. It's $12 a year. Mm-hmm. Basically covers the cost of postage and handling.
Well, very good. So what do you have for us this morning?
Well, let's talk about some health stories, some very interesting things. For the first time, a large study has shown that a particular vitamin can reduce the risk of a particular kind of cancer.
Huh.
That's sort of been something that scientists have looked at for a long time and have not been able to actually determine. But this is vitamin B3, also known as nicotinamide, and it shouldn't be confused with either nicotine or niacin. It's a particular form of vitamin B3, and it was tried in Australia in a large study of people who had skin cancers, and they're not melanoma, not the most serious lethal kind of skin cancer, but the very common basal and squamous cell skin cancers, which millions of people have every year, and also the precancers that lead to this, which many people also have. I have a lot of them myself, as a matter of fact. So this is the first time they've shown that a regular dose of a vitamin can reduce, it by 25% in this study, the risk of developing new cancers like that.
So if I understand what you're saying, again, we're not doctors on the show here.
Right.
We're talking about B3, eating or consuming a certain amount of that can be helpful in reducing skin cancer?
Yes, the little skin cancers, the little scaly passages that you see on your skin, and that also turn into bumps or whatever, and often have to be frozen off or sliced off or whatever. There's lots. Some people even have to have radiation from them. Freezing. I said it's freezing, maybe. Already. So they're not usually lethal, but they come back a lot, and people have a lot of them. And this seems to be reducing the frequency and the growth of new ones.
Okay, and you can read about this in the Beacon newspaper.
Right, and again, it's not something that doctors are recommending, there's a study that's out there that shows this effect.
Right.
So it's something to talk to your doctor about. Right.
Okay, very good.
And there are no side effects from the vitamin so far.
Okay, that's excellent.
Yeah.
So what else do you have in health?
Well, another story that I really liked, because we had written about this promise of this several years ago. They had discovered some years ago that cancers and tumors in the body release cells into the bloodstream, and that there's a way through a simple blood test to detect the presence of these cells in the blood.
Hmm.
And the question then was, well, can we really diagnose early on, just through a simple blood test, the presence of cancer in the person?
Hmm.
And this study, it's not actually a study, but this article says that it's now being done. They're called liquid biopsies. They just capture whatever cancer cells or DNA that's been shed into the blood by the tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know a lot about them. They're just putting them together. But there are two or three of these tests out there now that are being sold. More than a dozen are in development. And some doctors are using them routinely. And in the story, there's a woman who says, they caught my lung cancer, way early.
Hmm.
And I have a much better chance of survival because of the fact that they used this simple blood test on me. So I, again, think that's something to talk to one's doctor about.
Well, I'm curious because there's so many different varieties of cancer.
Of course.
That if, I guess, one test would probably not test for all cancers, or maybe there's a protein that's common to all cancers. I'm not really sure, but
the article doesn't explain that either. I think you're right that you have to be looking for something in particular or searching for the DNA of a cancer cell, which perhaps they know a little bit better.
Always interesting to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you. I always enjoy it too.
Thanks for being a part. Stuart Rosenthal with the Beacon newspaper. Get your copy today. I'm very happy to introduce a new guest on the show. Her name is Susan Ronick, and her company is called Susan I, which is your middle initial, right?
Correct.
Okay, Susan I. Ronick Associates. And Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. You and I have met through GROWS, which is an organization that gathers senior-minded individuals together, meaning people who are serving in the senior living space. So over the past couple of years that I've known you, I've heard you speak, and I've enjoyed that. And I've invited you to be here today because of the power of the spoken word. I know how important it is to you that we communicate with excellence. Can you take a moment, tell the audience what your company is, though, so they understand where you're coming from?
My company is Susan Ironic Associates. I am a linguist. I spent the first 30 years of my life as an interpreter and translator, and now I am a board-certified speech-language pathologist specializing in neurodegenerative communication disorders, which means I help people recovering from stroke. I help people with Parkinson's, and I help speakers speak so others listen. I work on content, voice, and delivery.
Excellent. So if somebody is listening today and they are looking to improve their speech and would like to get some idea of how you work, how could they reach you?
You can reach me through my website, susan@speakskill.com.
So Susan at, that's your email address.
That's
Susan,
the email address. Mm-hmm. My website is www.speakskill.com.
Speakskill.com. Great. Okay, good. So when you are working with somebody who's recovering from, say, a stroke or has Parkinson's or whatnot, what are some of the things that you do to work with them to help them in that process?
Well, the first thing I do is smile. Mm-hmm. Okay. That changes everything. That frames everything. Mm-hmm. And encourage the want, because people have to want to get better. Mm-hmm. You can't just act on people. They have to be vested in the recovery process. We see what they can do. We work with the residuals, and we move them forward, always with a smile and always with encouragement.
When you and I were chatting before the show today, we discussed how people communicate with negatives, with don'ts, as opposed to giving direction and encouraging them in the way that they should go and in a way that's encouraging to them. So how do you do that with your work? Other than you've just mentioned smiling, you've mentioned directing people. What would be some specific words that you use to communicate direction in a positive way?
I start by explaining what they have. If they have a stroke, I explain that to them. I ask them if they're aware. I try to find out how much information they have about the condition. And then I try to share more information with them so they have a better understanding. A lot of people who have stroke have difficulty with language. No one's ever told them that there's a name for that. It's called aphasia. Mm-hmm. And June, by the way, is National Aphasia Awareness Month. Hmm. It's loss of language, not intellect. We now know that there's a component, but just because people can't put their words together doesn't mean they haven't got the thought process clear in their head. And it's important to realize that.
Well, I think for those of us who interact with people who may have had a stroke, it is important for us to understand that although they may not phrase it or say it, if you're not around it a lot, it's not that it isn't going on. It's just
they know what they want. Even a person with dementia, mm-hmm. no matter how severe, mm-hmm. they have likes, they have dislikes. They know what they don't want. They may have difficulty explaining to you what they do want, but they know what they don't like. And we should honor that. We must respect. They talk nowadays about person-centered care. It doesn't get more person-centered than that. And behavior is communication. That's another thing we have to be aware of.
So someone's behavior, how do you listen effectively to someone's behavior? If you're listening with your ears rather than with your eyes, mm-hmm. how do you get better at that?
You have to watch for what they don't say. Mm-hmm. If somebody pushes you away, mm-hmm. that's a fairly clear indicator that whatever you're doing or saying or attempting to do is not something they want to participate in. So you try to be more sensitive to what they're trying to express. It's not always clear. You have to work hard.
I could imagine. And in my business in real estate, when I'm working with somebody and they are hotter than a firecracker, quick mm-hmm. to anger, and it isn't really about me, it's just their reaction to the environment or the situation that they're going through, that I see, and I've grown, you know, matured over 27 years of doing this to see that people really aren't angry with me. They're not really angry with anything other than the process that they're going through. And sometimes people process change differently. They process change through anger as opposed mm-hmm. to processing it, considering it, and moving through it, you know, fairly easily. So when you're working with somebody who's got dementia, they probably still keep those same traits that they had before, yes, no?
They do, yes. Okay. The personality doesn't always change. It can be altered to some extent. And frustration is a major issue. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever 100% out of it. Mm-hmm. And they feel that anger, that frustration, and depression. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to gauge that. Watch the face, look into the eyes, mm-hmm. see if you can get them to smile.
Mm-hmm. Is depression commonplace?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. In depression is common with dementia. It's common with all illnesses. It's common in people who don't have illnesses. It's part and parcel. It takes very little to push people over the edge, and we have to fight it to the extent that we can.
I agree. I think that each one of us has to learn how to walk through life and figure out the people around us, how we can care for them, encourage them. You know, we're our friends and our family's best advocates if we choose to be, right? And
Agreed.
And when you're working with somebody who's maybe having trouble communicating, you have to learn how to communicate differently with them, not only just in how you listen to them, but also how you communicate to them, right?
And how you validate what they're trying to tell you. That's the important thing. If they're trying to express something to you, be it through behavior or words, be they the right or the wrong words, it's important to validate their feelings.
How do you do that?
You can hold the hand. Mm-hmm. If they'll accept the hand, you can smile. You can nod affirmatively. You can rephrase the words and say, I know you don't like this. I know this is upsetting you.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to explain it, but it's important to let the person know that, and this be a person with dementia, a child, somebody who's sick, a spouse, validate the feelings before you try to convey.
Susan, that's great. Validate before you speak. Make sure that they know that you're hearing them. Susan, can you hang on for just a moment? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of The Eric Stewart Show right here on WMAL.